Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our strength, our redeemer, and our friend. Amen. Deb is going to read to us from Jeremiah 17.
This is from the version, The Message, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. Cursed is the strong one who depends on mere humans, who thinks he can make it on muscle alone and sets God aside as dead weight. He's like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. But blessed is the man who trusts me, God, the woman who sticks with God. They're like trees planted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers, never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season. The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. A word for God, a word for the people of God. Say to God.
People remember when we used to have a Psalter reading in every worship service. The Psalter from the Psalms. Please open your Bible to page 465 or thereabouts, and we're going to responsively read Psalm 1. No, they don't have Bibles. There's Bibles up here. Can you please pass them back? There's Bibles up in the thing here, guys. Can you pass them back? They're getting more. Pardon? Psalm 1. It's on or about page 465. Okay, we all on Psalm 1. I will read verse 1, you will read verse 2, and we will go through it until verse 6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And our lesson from the book of Luke today comes from Luke 6, verses 17 through 26. Just prior to this passage in Luke, Jesus had spent the night on a mountain praying. And following this time of prayer and contemplation, he chose the 12 who would become his disciples or apostles. This group would come to know him best. This is the group that would test him and defy him and eventually spread the word of the love of his Father to all the earth. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked directly at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." When one glances at this passage in Luke, we're reminded of the Sermon on the Mount, commonly known as the Beatitudes, which we find in Matthew 5. In Matthew's version of the Beatitudes, there are 8 blessings: those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted because of righteousness. In Luke, we see that there are 4 blessings and 4 woes, and they contrast. There are the rich and the poor, the hungry and the full, those who weep and those who laugh, those who are hated, and those of whom people speak well. One might ask, why is each scripture so alike, yet so different? There are many different ideas as to why these 2 passages differ. One that caught my attention that I actually hadn't thought of before dealt with the idea that Jesus spoke to many people in many different locations. But wherever he spoke, his theme was always the same. It centered around the greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when Jesus spoke in various places, surely he fine-tuned and added or subtracted from this lesson as he saw fit. In other words, he didn't walk around with a big scroll and speak the same words to the same crowd wherever he appeared. Think about an author on a book tour. In each town or village library or civic center, the author basically tells the same story about their published work. However, from place to place, different parts of the book are emphasized. As musicians, such as Gladys Knight, who I heard the other night on Valentine's Day, they go from gig to gig. Their basic show is the same, but it's tweaked a little to address each local audience. Now, I'm sure Gladys doesn't come out on stage in Miami going, "Brr, it's cold up here in central New York." She performs to the crowd. It is not important to compare and contrast the Sermon on the Mount with this, which is called the Sermon on the Plain. In each scripture, Jesus gives a specific lesson to a specific set of individuals. The contrast between blessings and woes is paramount in this Sermon on the Plain. It was presented when Jesus came down from the mountain after a night of prayer, after the naming of his 12 disciples. Many people heard the sermon, but it was primarily aimed at those newly chosen 12. He was giving them fair warning of the life they would be living for him. Similarly, Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1 contrast the blessing of the righteous, who are like trees planted by streams of water where they prosper and grow, and they compare it to the wicked, who are like shrubs that wither and die from the lack of water in the desert. Likewise, Jesus contrasts the blessings in store for those who are poor and suffer now with the woes in store for those who are rich and comfortable. These scriptures describe both the blessings of God's kingdom and the consequences of putting earthly rewards above heavenly blessings. They highlight the blessings gained when you trust in God and the loss incurred when we turn away from God. The terms wicked and happy are key to these three passages. Happy here is not interpreted as we would interpret it today. A happy person is one who is open to God's instruction, to the scriptures, to the Psalms. A happy person is open to God's ways, not the ways of the world. A happy person is not self-righteous or full of themselves. They are happy to be servants of God. A happy person serves the Lord regardless of the worldly circumstances, regardless of their lot in life. They are poor in the ways of the world, unlike the rich or wicked as described in our passages for this morning. The happy are willing to walk away from their former lives, don a new cloak, and follow Jesus. The wicked have no foundation. They have been driven away by the wind. They have perished due to the lack of faith in God. This is a choice that they make. They refuse to be related to the source of all life, to God. This turns them into self-centered and self-directed persons, rather than God-centered and God-directed happy people. In today's world, happiness is promoted as enjoyment, self-satisfaction. To be successful in the world makes one happy. Accumulation of things makes us happy. The bigger the house, the bigger the car, the more prestigious the job, the happier one supposedly is. Today's scriptures all point out that the primary goal in life should not be self-fulfillment or prosperity. The goal in life should not be about getting all that we want. Happiness, in the words of these scriptures, comes from our ability to give ourselves to God. These scriptures basically flip-flop the word of God. These scriptures basically flip-flop the world's values. Jesus is calling each of us to repent and enter the realm of God. The blessings and woes, along with the Psalm and Jeremiah, are all warning us that God is with us in the midst of the best of times and the worst of times. But to warrant these blessings, we must first be willing to give up the riches of the world, for the way of the wicked leads one to perish. The multitudes crowded Jesus on the plain that day, but his words that day are as pertinent today as they were then. They are directed to his followers throughout all time. Jesus is talking about what motivates and tempts you, what motivates and tempts me. Blessings will abound if we steer carefully around the temptations and stay on the path of following Jesus faithfully. But woes and regrets are what we'll receive if we take shortcuts and follow what the devil is trying to get us to do, trying to have us follow. As we review these passages, it's important to remember things are not always as they seem to be. Those who seem to be prospering, the rich, may indeed be poor in spirit, and those who appear to be suffering may in fact be rich in God's sight. We've all known people who seemingly have nothing. They live in squalor, but they are rich in the ways of the Lord. Conversely, we can all recall people who have it all, yet lack the blessing of God in their life here on earth, and thus lack the blessing of God in the hereafter.